Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Now we've been discussing the important subject of spiritual warfare. And although you cannot see the enemy, his threat and opposition against you is very real. There are spiritual forces opposing your success, your family, your health, and more. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and 11, put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against all of the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You are engaged in a battle with the devil every single day, so you must never let your guard down. In fact, you should pray every day before you leave home. In fact, before you even start your day, if possible, approach God in prayer in the name of Jesus. Ask for favor, ask for his protection, for his presence, for his guidance, and ask that it would be a good day, because prayer is a weapon against the enemy. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Refuse to compromise God's word and don't yield to temptation. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about the subject, don't allow Satan to use you. Can you say that? Don't allow Satan to use you. It is possible to be a Christian and still allow yourselves to be used by the enemy. In fact, Robert Philip Hansen began with a life like many Americans. He married and he is the father of six. He met his wife Bernadette while he was attending dental school in Chicago. She was one of eight children from a staunchly Roman Catholic family. The couple married in 1968. After they married, he converted to Catholicism, becoming a fervent believer and being extensively involved in Opus Dei, which is an institution of the Roman Catholic Church that teaches that everyone is called to live a life of holiness and sanctity. He is now a former FBI agent who spied for the Soviet and Russian intelligence services against the United States for 22 years. He's serving a life sentence at the United States Penitentiary in Florence, Colorado. His activities have been described by the United States Department of Justice's commission as possibly the worst intelligence disaster in U.S. history. The devil does not care if you're a saint or a sinner, a Christian or atheist. He wants to use you. And he will use you to oppose God's will and plan. The devil wants to use you to harm others and to destroy your own destiny. However, you do not have to yield to his temptation. God can assist you and help you to maintain victory in your life over all temptations. Now, it doesn't matter, because you can say that you love God. Folks, listen. The devil is still going to tempt you, and he tempts us through our carnal nature. In other words, through our thought life, through our emotions, through our passions, our ambitions, and our human appetites. When you accept Christ, you did not become a super saint. You were not made of stone. If you cut yourself, you'll see you still bleed. And even Superman had to avoid kryptonite. You've got to understand something, folks. The devil is looking for your spiritual weaknesses so that he can grab hold of it. Therefore, you must surrender every part of your life to God. The devil wants to use you. Now, God warns us that we've got to deal with all of those issues in our lives that tempt us. In Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Who or what is keeping you back from your relationship with God? What keeps tripping you up? That's your temptation. Now, the Bible tells us in James 1 and 14, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. And that is the reason why anything that brings temptation in your life to disobey God, you need to bag it, you need to tag it, and you need to get rid of it. In other words, the first thing you need to do is identify the source. Isolate the source of that temptation and stay away from it, or you may be its next victim. How can we recognize when the devil is trying to use us or is currently using us? Well, as mentioned, the devil is going to attempt to influence you in your relationship with God and with others through your flesh. When I talk about the flesh, it means your human reasoning, your ambitions, your emotions, your passions, your fears, your doubts, your insecurities, even the greed that you may have in your life. And the devil will suggest any thought or behavior that promotes your personal benefit. The devil wants you to be happy as long as you are not doing the will of God. This is one way to recognize him. And you can recognize the devil's influence in your life by knowing his characteristics. And his number one characteristic is pride. Folks, if you possess any pride in your life, you become a candidate to be used of God. I'm sorry, to be used of the devil. In Isaiah 14 and 12, it says, it's talking about Satan here, how have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. See, when you are influenced by the sin of pride, it makes you feel you are above the law and above others. It gives you the delusion that you have the right to say, to do, and to have anything you want. Pride will cause you to disrespect authority and oppose anyone who looks better than you. Pride will use you to harm others and yourself. We see this throughout the Bible. I just want to give you just a few examples. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil deceived Eve through pride, because he said, eating the forbidden fruit will make you like God. The Bible says that this influenced her to eat of the fruit, and as a result, she influenced her husband to disobey God as well. And as a result of their sin, all humanity was infected by the sin condition. See, the devil wants to use you to influence other people's lives who can influence other people's lives, and so on and so on and so on. The Bible tells us that the sin of pride caused the first murder. In Genesis chapter 4 and 6, the devil influenced Cain to murder his brother Abel. The Lord had said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is it that your face looks downcast? If you do what is right, you will be accepted. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must master it. Now, what was that all about? It was a time for Cain and Abel to bring a sacrifice to God on behalf of forgiveness for their sins. And even then, God had required a lamb. Cain knew it. Abel knew it. Abel, he obeyed God and gave God the lamb. Cain, because he was a farmer, he went in and he got the best vegetables and fruit he could find. He brought it to God and said, here you go. This is the work of my hands. This is God. This is the best fruit in the land. And the Lord rejected it. And as a result of that, he felt, oh, man, all this work, everything I've done, all the time I've spent in growing this garden, knowing that I had to give God a sacrifice, he totally rejected me. Folks, that was the sin of pride. Because when his authority, God told him, I only receive lambs, he said, oh no, I'm going to give you something far better. I'm going to give you the work of my hands. Folks, it's just like people today who think, apart from Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, they can make it to heaven by good works. See, this was a type all the way back at the very beginning. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the Bible says, slain before the foundations of the world. This right here was God already saying, I require the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb. But Cain said, no Lamb, the work of my hands. Look what I've done. Look what I can give you. Folks, it hasn't changed to this day. People are still operating in pride and saying, Jesus Christ can't be the only way. What are you talking about? Jesus is the only way. Christianity is the only way. Look at all of the other major religions. Are we all lost? Are they all lost? Well, if we go to the Word of God, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No one can come to God without him. No one can be saved except through his sacrifice. No one can go to heaven except through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you believe.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
It doesn't matter what you believe. You know, people today believe as long as they are sincere in what they believe, it's true. No, that doesn't make it true. Just because you're sincere about what you believe, you may believe that you're a rabbit and be sincere about it, but you're not a rabbit. At least I hope not. You're a human being. See, what makes something true is when you believe in the truth, not that you're sincere. Well, Cain, who was filled with pride because he was rejected by God, the Bible says he went out into the field with his brother, and while they were talking, the Bible says he attacked his brother Abel and he killed him. Now, let me tell you something about pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and 10, the only effect of pride is fighting. When people confront you, they argue with you, they want to fight you, it's a result of pride. Pride produces anger. And anger is one of the devil's entry points into a person's life to control them and to harm someone else. How many of you know any angry people? Mm-hmm. You know what the Bible says? Avoid angry people or you'll become just like them. Now listen to what it says in Ephesians 4:26. Don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Pride and anger make you a candidate for the devil's use to hurt yourself and to harm others. Even King David, who was a man after God's own heart, allowed the devil to influence him through pride. Listen, never think that the devil is just after your individual failure. You know, many people say, well, you know, it was just something I did. It had nothing to do with anybody else. You know, I didn't hurt anybody else. We didn't hurt anybody else. That's a lie. Because anything the devil gets you to do is not just for your personal failure. It is to hurt other people. He's always plotting to bring about as much damage to other people as he possibly can. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 21 in verse 1. It says, now Satan, plotting evil against Israel, put into David's mind the impulse to take the number of Israel. Now God, he forbid the kings of Israel to number their troops because he wanted them to depend upon him and not upon their numbers. David knew that, but because of pride, he did it anyway. He called his general, Joab, one of the commanders of the troops, and he said, go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan. Then report back to me so I know how many troops we have. But Joab replied, may the Lord increase the number of his people 100 times over. But why, my lord the king, would you want to do this? We are all God's servants and your servants. Why must you cause Israel to sin? So he confronted David and said, you know this is a sin. And listen, it goes on to say, but the king insisted that the census be taken. So Joab obeyed the king, went throughout all of Israel, and he counted the people. The Bible next says God was very displeased with the census. And as a result, he punished Israel for it. Then David said to God, I have sinned greatly by taking the census. Please forgive my guilt for doing such a foolish thing. See, the Bible clearly reveals the devil was the one who influenced David to disobey God. This is what I'm trying to tell you. The devil is trying to use you. He is going to give you suggestions to do things that some of the things you know they're not right. But you'll just feel strong. I'm just going to do it anyway and hope it comes out right or whatever. In David's case, he knew it was wrong, but because of pride, he did it anyway. See? But now this is what I want you to see. David's sin brought judgment on the people. See, whenever the devil uses you, it is not just to hurt you. It's always to hurt other people. The Bible says the Lord allowed a plague upon Israel and 70,000 people died as a result. Pride was the door that allowed the devil to use the king. And folks, it'll be the door that he'll use you as well. You have got to stamp pride out of your life. You have got to ask God to help you in that area of your life. Pride was also the door that allowed the devil to use Peter as well. In Matthew 16:15, Jesus had asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus said, you are blessed, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by God, but my Father, which is in heaven. And then God's says that in his word that Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and he had to be killed by the elders and the chief priest. But he would raise again on the third day. Well, at this, the Bible says, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Now imagine rebuking God. If that's not pride, I don't know what it is. You are going to rebuke the Lord? He saw the miracles he did. He just said he's the Son of God, and now he's correcting the Son of God. Pride will make you crazy. He said, Lord, this will never happen to you. He had just heard from God, but now he had heard from the enemy. Be very careful to the voices that you listen to. How do we know God is talking to us? We know because whatever God tells us will line up in this Bible. Recently, there was a minister. He had been in an affair with one of his congregation members for about 4 years. And the daughter told about it when it broke to the media and said, he had told my mother that it was all right with God. They were soulmates. God had put them together. This was really the will of God. Folks, listen. Unless the Word of God confirms what you're hearing, that is not true. You need to understand this, especially if you receive a personal word or if you believe somebody, you better make sure it matches up with what the Bible has to say. Jesus quickly turned around to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan." Now, who had just spoken to him? Peter. But Jesus went right to the source of the information. He said, devil, get away from me. Now listen to what he says, because this is very interesting. He said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. People, remember this, remember this, remember this. How you know the devil is influencing you is because he will always talk about your personal benefit in a situation. He will not ever talk about the Word of God and what it says. Some people say, well, we're in love, so since we're in love, we live together. We express our loves. God is all about love. He wants us to express our love. No, that's not the Bible. The Bible says if you love someone and you want to be intimate, you should first be married. I just challenge people listening to me, wherever you're listening, if you really love that person, why won't you marry them? It's not trying on a shoe or a dress or a suit. If that person is a person who is worthy for you to love intimately, that person is a person worthy of marriage. The Bible says, humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But what makes the devil run? It's your humility. It's not your pride. It's not stick up your dukes, devil. We're gonna go right now. Jesus said, I got power over you. No, no. Even though you have power, it's your submission to God that gives you the power over the enemy. If you are not submitting to God and obeying God, the devil's not going to listen to you. He's going to laugh in your face. You can say, devil, I rebuke you. He's going to say, I rebuke you back. Because your power comes through your submission to God.
This concludes part one of the message today. Join us tomorrow for part two.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. This concludes part 9 of today's message. Join us Monday for part 10. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of the message today is Principles for Relationships, What's Right and What's Wrong. Part 9. Now, Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Lord, we thank you today for your goodness and for your grace. Lord, your word declares that it shall come to pass that before we call, you will answer. And while we are yet speaking, you will hear. Hear our prayers today. You are acquainted with every situation. We're praying for our family members and our loved ones today. We're praying for our physical health. Heal us today. We rebuke sickness, disease, and pain. We come against all opposition in our lives. Your word says, call upon me and I will answer you. And we are calling and we are believing. And you said, whatever we ask in the name of your son, Jesus, you would do it. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.